When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You do it.
You know, you do it. No, you do it.
No, you
say it. You say it. No, you say it. The Celtics are going to the NBA Finals. The Boston Celtics are on their way to the NBA Finals, folks. It was scary. It was fun. It was every emotion that you can imagine, and that's this team. I said it. I said it earlier. This team is toxic. I hate how much I love them. They hurt my heart, but I'm happy tonight, and that's all that matters. So really, here we are. We're on our way to the NBA Finals. Who would have thought a few months back that this is the position we would be in? Who would have thought I'd be on the show tonight? But I had to jump on for this. John, I know you have like a notebook worth of points you want to make on the good and the bad and the ugly, but tonight is the good. Tonight's the good.
We're talking about
good things.
I honestly didn't tweet and I didn't breathe during
you didn't
that.
Tweet, but you did text. You did
during
text,
that so run.
I do know a few things.
During that run when it got down to two, and I'm still not over.
I want to say one thing real quick. I can't see the chat tonight. So anybody chatting at me, good things, bad things, I won't be able to see it. Probably for the best. I'm on
people
my iPad.
Want to know if you skipped the wedding. Jimmy did not skip the wedding. It's wedding weekend, and Jimmy ran over here to be on this show, which is great.
And it's not bitches. I'm still single if anyone's out there wondering. I had an unbelievable wedding yesterday. My friends Justin and Sarianne got married up in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. And we had already planned a way, way, way back that we were going to do a whole weekend of it. So we're actually at Hampton Beach, believe it or not, the Vegas of New England. And I stepped away professionally, from the environment, if you will. And I'm hanging out with my buddy John. We're going to talk some sports. We're going to talk some Celtics. We're going to talk some basketball.
Jimmy did the
responsible
thing.
We're going to wait for Bobby. Bobby's in Miami, correct?
Bobby's in Miami.
I think Sherrod's in Miami. Is that correct?
Sherrod is there. We'll get to him too. Jimmy did the responsible thing and switched from whiskey to beer at around 9:30, 10 o'clock so he could sober up. Yeah.
If you were in Hampton Beach today, you probably saw me at some point. My shirt might have been off. The vibes were going. The helmet did not come out at the bars because I didn't want to jinx anything. But the helmets, as soon as I leave here, the helmet's coming out tonight. If you're in the area, maybe I'll bump in. Either way, this isn't about me. This isn't about anybody on the show. It's about the Celtics.
Tip of the hat to Bobby Manning. What's the one thing you said?
What do you got?
I was going to say tip of the hat to Bobby Manning, who did say that this series was over after game five. So he nailed it.
He knew it was over.
He was a little late.
He did say it was over. He said it was over really pretty much before it started. Said a bunch of other, none of it really matters anymore. But
was going to happen. Hampton Beach Wi-Fi beats Brockton Wi-Fi. Jimmy's going to jump back on here. We're keeping it positive. He's hopping on again and see how everybody feels about it. I know people are trickling in. You're watching some post game. Jimmy, I'll bring you back on. Sherrod and Bobby in Miami. We'll get to those guys in a little bit.
Sorry. So again,
you got dinged.
You
got dinged. Yeah.
So this might happen a few times. I'm on like a weird random ass Wi-Fi. So I just want to say tip of the helmet, but really not tip of the helmet. I did say Celtics in seven, not a big deal. But I did say that. I want to say this about the Celtics. The one thing a few of my friends asked me today, you know, what's your prediction? I said, if the Celtics come out strong, a chance to win this game. They will. That was pretty much my prediction. If they don't, the Heat will bully them as they've done in the past. And the Celtics came out strong. And I know it wasn't perfect. I know Rob Williams had his faults to start in that first quarter.
Don't say negative things, Jimmy.
There is a but. There is a but. There's always a but. There's always a big but. I'm a but guy. I'm a but guy. If everybody wants to know that about me. And I will say this. There was a big but tonight. Is that they kept coming back. They didn't go full like, oh my God, Jimmy Butler's gonna beat me up and toss me in the locker and close it and lock it on me. They didn't go full that. They got close, especially in the fourth quarter. But they got up to a strong start. They set the tone, and they made the Heat play kind of like catch up the rest of the game. Not kind of, but really, the Heat was trying to play catch up the rest of the game. And I thought that was the difference. When the Celtics start flat, when the Celtics, you know, kind of just kind of lose their identity early on, they let the Heat or whoever the opponent is sort of dictate the way things go. And that was the key in this game, is that they didn't do that. So I got to give the team a shout out for the way they came out. Now you can go on and on about the way they closed the second quarter. You can go on and on about the way they closed the fourth quarter.
I feel like that's negative.
But we're not gonna. I mean, like, we have to mention it, John, only because, and I know you're being facetious. I get it. I understand that.
I'm not. And
I know you're seeing your Twitter mention.
Everybody here knows what happened.
And you don't want to be a mean guy.
Everybody here knows what happened. Everybody here knows that it was a freaking near heart attack to get here. In not just this game, the entire series. And everybody knows all of the things. Can you got me, Jimmy?
I have you, but do you have me? I'm like delayed or something.
Yeah. You're good. Everybody knows everything. So there's no reason to rehash it. We'll get into some of the other stuff in detail later, but it was a freaky ride and they got there and there goes Jimmy again. He's in and out the whole time, but we're not going to bother. I'm drinking straight. Anyone wants to know? Straight Irish whiskey. But yeah, we're not going to get into that because it doesn't matter, because everything, it wipes the slate clean. This was an ugly series. You saw some of the worst habits from the Celtics pop up from time to time. There's injury concerns with Rob, didn't look himself. Doesn't matter. Clean slate, few days of rest, Golden State Warriors, in you go. That's it. Doesn't matter. Trash it. We're fine.
I'm back.
We're moving on. Jimmy's coming in again. Jimmy, you good?
I joined in on like the guest side, so I'm hoping that helps. We'll see.
Yeah, do your thing.
No, I'm trying, John. I'm trying my best here.
I like what you're doing here.
What did
but
you
anyway,
say?
As I was saying,
what did you say? I didn't hear it.
You're right. I have a.
By the way, I don't know if I even did this yet. Can we at least say in the chat? I don't know. I can't see the chat, but can we at least say the Celtics came to work tonight on Memorial Day weekend, on a weekend where we have to absolutely respect the troops who come to work, the ultimate sacrifice. Nobody comes to work more than the troops. The Celtics came to work tonight. So hard hats on and tip of the cap, because that's really what it's all about. What did you say, though? Because every time you've talked, I think I've gotten booted, which typically is a good thing for me. But when I'm the only guy on the show, I need to kind of know what you said so that I can play off it a little bit. Typically, I don't want to listen to you, but I have no choice at this moment. So. If you could, I appreciate the honesty. Indulge me, that would be great. Yeah,
I appreciate the honesty.
What do you got for me?
I told people I'm drinking a straight Irish whiskey. People were asking.
By the way, I can now see chat slightly, so if I catch it, I will see it. But please, that doesn't mean be mean to me. That just means, just so you know, I might be able to see it.
All right, Chatty McGee. So the answer to your question you've asked me seven times now is, what did I say? And I said there's a lot throughout the entire series we're concerned about. It doesn't matter because it's a clean slate. And you got through Miami and it was ugly as hell. And you've got referees and you've got all-time grifters on the other side and Lowry and Butler and a bunch of things that went the way that they went. done. Move on. Done, done, done. A new series, new players, new challenges, new whatever. We'll figure it out when we get there. Game one is on Thursday. We're sending at least Bobby Manning out there, possibly others. So we will have you fully covered throughout the finals. And I want to tell people now is we will be doing shows every single day during the finals in one capacity or another.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody ran that by my agent.
That's weird. That's cool. So that's what we're doing. So we're here hanging out. And again, like I said, we've got
that with him.
Yeah, we've got those guys coming in at the Garden a little bit. Let's get into a little bit of the game. You talked about, Jimmy, getting out to a good start. My nightmare scenario was getting out to a good start and having the Celtics' worst demons get a hold of them.
Was it your nightmare, or was it like you couldn't wait for that to happen?
To their credit, they did stop the bleeding every time. So every time they had self-inflicted wounds, all of a sudden, it was as frustrating for Miami, if not more so. They had missed free throws. They had bad fouls go against them. Everything got ugly. That second quarter was a foul-a-thon. And you squandered.
Foul-a-thon. Look at you.
You squandered a quarter and a half of really good basketball, and you were only up single digits heading into the third. And then you came out, and you all of a sudden were up 14 again. So every time Miami made a move, you moved it right back. They did it all game long up until that final stretch there when they friggin' completely imploded and almost lost. But we're not going to talk about that because they didn't lose.
We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about what we just talked about. We're not going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about the Jason
Tatum. That's an off-season discussion.
At a time when the offense was going to shit and they were getting bad shots left and right, Jason Tatum hit you were looking for Tatum to step up. Sometimes you just need a moment or two. Jason Tatum, that step back three, and then with 2.8 seconds left on the shot clock, he gets Butler. Butler thinks he's turning baseline. He friggin' absolutely shakes him, turns, elbow jumper. That was the ball game right there. Yeah. That was enough of a pad to give him the lead. So they executed when they had to. They just puked all over themselves in the last minute and a half, inexplicably. But the game was, for the most part, you felt out of reach at that point.
Yeah, that type of I guess you could say, like,
I don't know why they did that to us. Yeah, I don't know why they do that to us.
Because they're toxic, and that's what toxic.
I don't know why they do that to us. But the Celtics answered every bell throughout. Every challenge and every run, they answered it. When things weren't going well, they got the stop or they got the bucket they needed to be able to push it back up, and they did it all game long, except for that stretch where they literally tried to kill us. They literally tried to kill us all at the end there.
They would have hurt a lot of human beings tonight. They would have broken up a lot of families. Yeah, there would have been a lot of,
if that Butler three
lot of
dropped,
arguments in the house. There would have been a lot of arguments in the house. Monday wouldn't have been a fun day for a lot of families. For the kids, it's really about the kids, and it would have been sad. So I'm glad that the Celtics actually kind of like they figured it out. But it was playing against the clock again, and I can't tell you how many people were tweeting me about Kyle Lowry and his flopping and the blah 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 blah. At the end of the day, you got to take care of business. You got to do what you got to do on your end. You can't worry about the opponent trying to sell fouls. You can't worry about the referees. You got to score on your end when it comes down to it. And I thought the Celtics, at a few points in this game, settled for bad shots. But I have to say this. Three players stood out to me in this game down the stretch, especially Tatum, Brown, and Al Horford. And those are the three players I would say consistently throughout the series, throughout the playoffs, who have been and Marcus Smart obviously deserves credit too. But I obviously, you know, he with the injuries that he sustained and stuff, he's fighting through a lot of stuff. But those three players, they deserve some credit. And I know Al Horford is on this stretch. It's just unbelievable stretch. We have to talk about Al Horford tonight because he's going to the NBA Finals. He's going to the NBA Finals.
I don't care about Al's like Finals drought personally. What I care about is
Al Horford. You heartless human being. I care about it.
But I don't give a shit. That's not my storyline. My storyline is Al Horford saved their freaking ass.
But that's the point. I don't care that he's never been before. The point is that the way he's played in this series, now he's there. He's earned it because of what he's done, not because he's along for the ride. That's the point I'm trying to make.
So, to that point,
he's not, you know, Udonis Haslam on the Heat. You know, like he's He's a main reason they're here. So like that's unbelievable when you consider the fact that the Oklahoma City Thunder last year told him to go home. They said, "Hey, buddy, you know, yeah, we traded for you, but it's not what you think. We'll talk to you. We'll see you around. We'll see you around town." And then Brad Stevens said, "You know, we want this guy back," and it was ended up being Brad Stevens' best move. As
clearly his
president,
best move.
President, yeah, clearly maybe his only good move, but his best move, not his only good move, but you know what I'm saying? It's really, really, really good move. Best move by far, as the figurehead that he's on right now. So, very, very happy that Al Horford was able to contribute in the way that he has. I don't think he had to really prove anything, but he did. He did prove a lot. He proved a lot. And good for him. Honestly, I mean, that's really all I have to say about it. It's not like a crazy long message. Bobby Manning will probably go on a 40-minute diatribe about it. But at the end of the day, good for Al.
Yeah. So, Al.
Cheers. Here we go. Hey, who's watching the show tonight with a beer or a glass on a Sunday night with Monday off? A little cheers. Maybe a little cheers. Shoot me a little tweet. Shoot me a little tweet if you're cheersing. Let's go. Boom.
All right.
John, where are you at? You got one. You got something.
I got one, yeah.
So why don't you give me a little cheers real quick?
I'm going to spend a little time talking basketball now. How about that? Should we try that? Want to try that a little bit?
Yeah, you
mix
go
it up?
First. You
want
go
to
first.
Mix it up? Want to mix
yeah,
it up a little
you
bit?
Go
and talk
first.
About...
Yeah, you go first. I thought maybe like when somebody says, let's cheers, you might do it, but that's okay. You've never gotten a cheers before. That's okay.
Let's mix it up. Let's talk some basketball. Let's try it.
We've been talking basketball. I just talked about Al Horford for 20 minutes. You talk basketball. What do you got? What do you got for me?
I don't know. I'm going to get around to it eventually. I'm pacing myself. I'll get there.
Sorry for celebrating.
Holy shit. Mute. Done.
Go.
Done. Muted. I might have to bring in Josue. I have no choice.
Wow.
I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to have to bring in Josue.
Josue actually showed up. Let's go.
This is the equivalent of when you write your recap too soon, and then you have to rewrite the whole thing. John's trying to rewrite his whole script right now. He was ready for a put the Celtics to bed. You know what I mean? The Celtics season's over. You guys blew it. You guys had your shot. You know, but man, come on, man. Give this team their flowers, John. This team, like the Al Horford thing, I feel like you got to give him a little more credit than that. I mean, Jimmy was.
No. I'm saying I don't care about Al Horford, the arc of Al Horford's career. I'm literally trying to say that he's my MVP right now.
No, you're good.
I'm literally trying to say that Al Horford is my MVP, but I can't because I just can't get the words out. But yes, Al Horford is the MVP. The love I'm giving him is that after playing his only bad game of the postseason last game, he came out. He was insane on defense. His energy entire game. He was unbelievable in a game where Rob was unplayable. Rob minutes were Tice minutes tonight. Unplayable. Every second he was on the court, the Celtics were at a massive disadvantage. He not only physically out of it, his head looked out of it. And Al basically went wire to wire, and he had to because they had no chance without him. Yeah. He was freaking believable. Yeah.
The biggest reason he had to is what we've been talking about the last couple of games, right? Which is the fact that when he's not out there, Bam Adebayo, his face lights up literally. And you saw that because I feel like he could even tell that he wasn't himself. As soon as Rob was out of the mix, you saw him starting to get his offensive rhythm, right? He had like 10 points ready to go in that first half. And I just felt like the battling between those two, whether it was him, whether it was Bam Adebayo, whether it was, you know, Jimmy Butler, whoever it was, caught up on a switch, Al was fighting all night. Sure, Bam got his buckets, you know, here and there. Same thing for Jimmy in certain switches. But when it came down to it, man, he was coming up with stops. When the Celtics needed to come up with stops in that fourth quarter, when the Miami's offense dried up completely, it was all out. And I was still worried because the Celtics, they weren't putting them away right at first, right? And obviously that huge run was an extension of that because the Miami Heat, they figured it out. There's only so many times you come up short on one end of the floor that you're going to figure it out when you're most desperate. But look, if Jimmy Butler, man, if Jimmy Butler.
We're not talking game, about that. Yeah.
Hey, go straight, easy. Easy. Oh, if Jimmy Butler hit that three.
Sherrod,
we ain't talking Sherrod about Mike, that three.
Hold on, Sherrod's mic's a little hot, and we're coming in the party zone too, so there's a lot of noise coming out of there.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the playoffs, fights, and even the next season futures. And don't forget that baseball is back and the start of the Major League Baseball season is finally here. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
How's that?
It's all
good. Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. Listen, what happened before that, okay, it got dicey. Look, Jaylen Brown said it best. He said it a few minutes ago, actually. He was just like, oh my, like, can this actually happen? Yes, this is where dreams are broken as well. You know, and Jimmy Butler almost pulled it off. Almost. Obviously, that doesn't count. You know, obviously, the Celtics, they're going to advance here because almost doesn't count. But, man, the Celtics, they fought to the end, but without Al, they don't come out with a win on this one, for sure.
Yep.
So I'm with you guys.
Sherrod, you're down there. What was it like?
Facts, my dog.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, it took me a minute to get here because everyone around me is talking about let's go Warriors. I'm thinking like, y'all just got your ass whipped. Y'all don't get a voice in the conversation. So don't talk about the NBA Finals. Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? Sit your ass down and go home and just chill. Yeah. Relax.
Now, they're used to that, Sherrod, because when LeBron left, that's what they did. Go Warriors. Let's go. So.
Listen, this was a game that I said this from the beginning. I thought that talent and toughness were going to collide in this game. The Celtics, I thought, were the more talented team. Miami, I thought up to this point, had been playing tougher basketball. And the ability for the Celtics to really, frankly, maximize that talent to compensate for the toughness that Miami brought to the table, that was a difference. Tatum played one of it. I mean, here's the thing. The numbers don't reflect it in the very end, but Tatum and Brown had the best decision-making game of them, I think, ever. I mean, they had two turnovers between the two of them for most of this game. There were moments where I thought Jaylen specifically decided to pull back rather than go all the way into the hole and either reset it or take a mid-range jump shot. I thought this was maybe from a thinking standpoint, the most thoughtful game those two guys have had. And as you were saying earlier, Al did so many low-key but important things, particularly down the stretch. I thought he was Mr. Fourth Quarter for them. His defense, his rebounding, his presence out there. He was giving them if we're being honest and real, he was giving them what they were hoping to get from Rob. Rob was brutal. And we're not going to talk too much about Rob.
We're not.
But it was horrible. And we can just move on from that.
Take a few days off and figure it out. But you're right.
Yeah,
the decision making was great with these guys. They did their best there. The finishing was frustrating. I feel like if they hit their layups, it's another thing. You're not even worried about the closeness of this game. Not turning it over was frigging super key here, and it's one of the reasons why they were able to keep them at arm's length the whole way. They weren't giving away the.
Marcus took a couple of really bad threes. I mean, I know he's wide open.
Really bad.
But late in a game like that, you keep swinging the ball around, force them to defend so you can get an easy basket, not just the first available. It felt like they were trying to hit that knockout punch. You don't need that when you're up like that in game seven on the road. You just need to play. Just keep the ball moving.
They were all technically good shots, but you still didn't really want them there in that situation.
Yeah, you want great shots at that point. You don't want good ones. You want great ones because great ones are going to count. Good ones, a little dicey. And obviously, the Celtics, they lucked out for, as Joe Sway was talking about earlier, that Jimmy 3. And it was online, too. Damn, it was online.
That looked good.
And the broadcast, was criticizing that three-pointer by Jimmy Butler. I don't understand that at all. I mean, like, dude, you got a clean look. I know you're not the best three-point shooter.
I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all.
You don't like anything, though, but it doesn't matter.
It's not his game. It's not his game.
John, he can hit three-pointers. He also hits
80% of his shots in the lane or he gets fouled. Just go to the bucket.
But he had to
go to the bucket.
You know what, though? It's easy to say that now, but if he hits that three-pointer on transition, we're talking about a bad shot, transition three, and like Jimmy Butler being a killer. So
hero ball. 25, 20.
You know what, though?
You know what, John? He is the hero. He is the hero on that team. He is the hero. So he deserves to take that shot.
And,
He has every right to take that shot.
That was an opportunity to steal their way into the finals because they got their asses kicked for 3+ quarters. And Jimmy, I think part of his thing was, we got a chance to steal this right now.
Right.
And this is a shot that I've made more than I usually do.
No, guys, he's shooting. He's a 23. He's a 24% 3-point shooter the last 3 years.
John,
and okay, what I get what you're saying, Sherrod. What you're saying is it's almost akin to an underdog team scoring a touchdown and going for two at the end of the game because they don't want to go to overtime because they're worried what's going to happen. So you're right. He tried to get it all in one shot. I still think Jimmy Butler, for what he's able to do in the paint or get to the line, he's automatic in transition there. Oh my God, that was he gives away a tie for a 1-in-4 shot at a win. I didn't think it was worth it, but anyway, dude.
Like, I mean, like, you're acting like it was 100% chance.
I'm happy he took that shot. I'm happy he took that shot. That's what I want. Jimmy Butler pull up three in transition. Absolutely the shot I wanted in that, on that possession. So he's fine.
He killed the Celtics so many times with that shot in this series.
Thank you.
I guess I kind of put myself in Jimmy's shoes in that particular moment. I would have damn sure raised up for that shot. Absolutely. This team has been kicking our ass this entire game. And a tie at this point, the way the game is going, we tie it up. And then they come back down and score the way they did against Brooklyn in game one. Or something crazy with it.
Jimmy Butler had 35 points tonight. Like, no one's criticizing Jimmy Butler tonight. If you're a Heat fan, like, he's the last guy on your list. He's the only reason you even got to a game seven. You know, Bam actually did step up tonight. Like, give him credit for that. But those two guys are the only reason we even got to a game seven. So, yeah, Butler pulled up. He got a clean look. I mean, he's a freaking NBA player.
Yep, and I'm glad he took it.
He should be able to hit that shot, though. Yeah, I'm glad he took it, too. But if he hit it, John, you wouldn't be sitting here like, I can't believe he took that shot. He would never hit that shot.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he would, right.
No way. So, it's not
– It was a horrible shot. Doesn't matter.
It happened. Whatever. The Celtics are moving on. Are we going to talk about the Warriors, or are we not going to talk about the Warriors?
Not yet.
Because I'm not here for an hour and a half. I'm out of here soon. I got to talk about the Warriors at some point.
Damn, sorry to interrupt your nightly prayers, Jimmy. Damn.
Yeah, my bad.
Jimmy, you act like this shit happens all the
time.
So,
Jimmy, I'm going to
– NBA Finals.
Jimmy, I'm going to open
excited.
Up –
I'm excited.
Jimmy's like, I got to go. Sorry, guys.
Jimmy, I'm going to open up a separate room for you where you can go and talk Warriors, and we're going to hang out here. And don't worry. The people will be there, too.
Me and John – all right. All right,
Jimmy. That's your home. John, give him a homeschool assignment so we can just move on and just do. What
Jimmy,
we
how about if I cheers you? Will that make it all better?
That would make me feel a little bit better. Yeah. All right, let me ask Sherrod and Joe Sway this because me and John.
Nice when this other going to the final. Look at
John and I, excuse me, we jumped on at the start of the show, so I've already talked about this game. I want to know what you guys think. I mean, Sherrod, you're there. I said how I was very impressed by Tatum, Brown, and Horford tonight. Am I missing something?
Yeah, well, I think you got to also look at what Derek White and Grant Williams were able to do early on in the game. I mean, one of the big question marks about the Celtics in this entire series was what could they possibly get out of their bench? And their bench early on was outplaying the hell out of Miami. And I know you don't have Tyler Herro, who came back. He might as well have not came back because, I mean, those were seven useless minutes. In fact, I mean, you go back and you look at the game. When he got into the game, the Celtics targeted him on four consecutive possessions.
Marcus was the
only one that was able to score. And I think the reason he was the only one to score because they could not – they were slipping and sliding all the damn drool on their chins when they saw he was on the floor. Because it was
that's accurate.
They just locked in and Tyler's in the game? I got this one.
Tyler was back wearing his little blouse. He was wearing his blouse at the end of the game.
Yeah.
He had his blouse and his shades on.
Sunglasses on, right?
Yeah, put his shades on, and he's like, I'm wearing my little blouse, and that's it, ball game. He didn't even threaten to go back in there.
No.
It's too bad.
What about Marcus, though, Sherrod? I thought Marcus was tremendous, you know, man. Especially in that third quarter.
I thought this game was just Marcus's career in a nutshell. There's a lot of things that you really like, but there were moments where you're just like, damn,
you appreciate the full roller coaster.
You do.
Yeah, of course, you got the full show. Better than game six.
It's life.
Well, game six, he was – I don't think he should have played in game six. Marcus, health-wise, was not in a good space. I was a little surprised that he went out there in game six. Didn't know what to expect. I mean, I was hearing that Marcus would definitely be better than he was in game six. But if we're being honest and real, that's a pretty low threshold of me. because he was pretty crappy in game six. But the Marcus went out here tonight, aggressive. And the one thing that Marcus does that I wish Tatum, I wish Brown would look to do more often, shoot the floater. A lot of those offensive fouls, if you just had a floater game, you're not picking up those cheap fouls. And if teams know that you're shooting a floater, you're probably going to get fouled more, which means
that's why we talked about like Tatum and Brown with a little stop and pop in the lane too. I think that's always do what Jimmy does. That's for those guys. They should be able to do that. They're strong enough to body up, create a little separation, just rise up and shoot. Those are bunnies for those guys,
especially Jalen, because Jalen's footwork inside the paint, the ability to hit the brakes, pivots, and do all that other stuff. He should be able to make that transition, to add a little floating game, to add a little elbow jump shot in transition. Because if they start making those shots, taking those shots, I don't know how you guard that dude. Because he can finish at the rim, and if he's knocking that down, and we know he can shoot the three.
The nerds, Sherrod, the nerds told them not to take him. Threes or layups.
Look, man, there's a lot of real estate in there that you just need to – listen, you don't have to live out in the sticks, but there's a lot of room in the suburbs. You can put in some work. You don't have to live downtown. Yeah, downtown. Damn, that sucks. Downtown.
Party's over.
It's a wrap.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
A good shot is a good shot, okay? That's all that matters.
Absolutely.
That's all that matters. So, you know what takes a lot of good shots? Golden State Warriors.
Jimmy Toscano.
Well, I take a lot of shots. Are you not all of them are good.
Into a finals preview right now. Damn, dude.
Bro, so, I'm excited. I'm excited for what's next. I look forward. Jimmy,
we all worked at NBC together, right? And then we realized, like, the reason you don't go into previewing the opponent right now is because you got to like do it for five more days, and you just run out of gas.
This, Jimmy.
We're not doing it for five more days.
So the producer is screaming, don't talk about the Warriors.
Someone's been doing it
because tomorrow's show is going to be about the Warriors, and then the day after.
Oh, that's true. I just found out we're doing a show every single day. I just found that out on the show tonight. They were doing a show every single day. Okay, my bad.
And then in a couple of days, you know, Draymond's going to say something crazy. We're going to talk about that.
Guys, it's not that I want to preview the series. I just want to acknowledge the fact that the Celtics are going to be in the NBA Finals against the Golden State Warriors, and I just want to
cheers to that, Jimmy. Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. Yep. Yeah, I know. Look at you, John. Keep the cheers going. I know what you're doing right now. You're not above me right now.
You're not on my vibe. We're not vibing.
You think you're saying something or you're not? No, I'm just saying. Listen, things are going to change quickly for the Celtics, so they can celebrate all they want tonight, and so can everybody else at home. There's a tall task at hand coming up. We're not going to preview the show. As John said, we're going live, I guess, every single freaking day for the next 2 weeks. So that's going to be fun.
I'm going to entertain your line of thought, Jimmy.
Nobody talked to my agent about that.
Here's the thing about this finals. For Golden State, it's going to be like looking back at themselves when they started their dynasty. Because when you look at the age of their top players, you look at the way that they got to the finals, it really is like going back in time for them. And if you're the Celtics, your blueprint for getting here looks a lot like Golden State's. You grew into this role. You did not – it wasn't a smooth transition. And, you know, again, one of the things that I've talked about a lot of times when you win a championship is you're going to need some breaks that you absolutely did not plan for. People forget that Golden State's first championship came with the starting point guard on the opposing team either being out altogether or missing significant time in every single series. That was critical to them. But no one remembers that. All they remember is, oh, my God, Steph is an amazingly awesome player, and he can shoot as soon as he gets inside the state of California and knock it down. People forget that they got a lot of breaks. Speaking of breaks, remember when you know Steph had all those issues with his foot and ankle, and they weren't really sure, are we going to sign him long term? Are we going to, you know, see what his trade value is? And they decided to double down and made him a centerpiece of what they do, and the rest is history. So this is going to be a great series. It's going to be a great series that I think it'll be more competitive than you think. Most people are looking at this and thinking Golden State will win this thing in maybe five games. It's going to go longer than five. There's no way this is not going to go at least six.
That's fair.
Yeah. Well, fair enough.
So Jimmy, are we good? Are we good, Jim? Are we good, Jimmy?
We can talk about the game.
Crushing the Celtics is hard. You know, like the Celtics fans. Celtics fans. They had about 12 minutes to celebrate this before Sherrod just crushed them. Like, enjoy it, guys, because something's about to catch that L in the final.
Oh, I didn't say It's going to be a good series. It's going to be a good series. I'm just telling you that right now.
Okay.
It's going to be a great series.
I think we're all just happy that they got to this point. I mean, we've talked about it. The fact that they're even in this position compared to where they were 3-4 months ago is crazy. So we all have to kind of be, you know, it's kind of like almost a pinch yourself situation that we're even in this situation that they're going to the NBA Finals.
Well, you know what's the best part about this, Jimmy? Jimmy just popped this in real quick. The best part is that we don't have to talk about, can Jalen and Jason win together? Can they get it done?
I'm still not so sure.
Sherrod, you've met John Zanis, right?
In the case of a loss, let's go through. We should do that.
That was called a setup, Jimmy. I was waiting.
Let's go through all of John's takes.
That's our private. That's our safe space, right?
Yeah.
For Al,
right?
John had a whole agenda ready for this.
That's our safe space. We're in the trust tree here, Josue. You can't violate that.
We're in the trust tree. It is crazy though how this game, and I tweeted this.
But holy crap, would I have come out spitting fire tonight? But anyway, go ahead.
And you would have plenty of fuel. You would have plenty of fuel. Oh man.
Oh my gosh.
If Shitty makes that shot, if Butler makes that three. Man, this is a completely different show. You know?
Jimmy.
It's true. 100% true. I tweeted it before the game. I said, this game feels like it's going to dictate the next like 3 or 4 seasons for the Celtics. Other than that, it's just a regular game.
It was a referendum. Like,
for sure. If they lost this game,
the name Romeo would have been mentioned.
It was a referendum on Tatum and Brown, fair or not. What's funny is I hate that game. I don't like to play the one win versus one loss as a reason why you make a judgment. You can assess what to do with things, win or lose, based on whether you think you can get better or whether you think you've got what you need or where you want to improve. To me, it has nothing to do with what you did in a single game. However, that's the conversation that would have been had. And as Sherrod said, I'm glad we can avoid that conversation because it is very reactive to just a moment. If Butler 25% 3-point shooters three goes down or Struce's three doesn't get taken away, the game changes. I don't know that the Celtics are any more deficient or any less capable of winning than they would have been had those things not happened based off of one or a couple of different sets of circumstances. It was a weird game. A weird series, no flow, no momentum, two teams that make life really hard on one another. If you're sitting there, like I said, I want to peek in on the Miami postgame show, and they're freaking out about missed free throws and bad officiating and a zillion other things that they can probably pinpoint on. How in the world did we lose to these guys? So it goes both ways. A lot of this stuff does.
I just know in the first half, it was 22-8 in favor of Miami and free throw attempts. 22-8.
Yeah.
Free throw attempts that they would take. Jimmy Butler had as many free throw attempts. I think he had more free throw attempts than the Celtics had as a team. So the officiating was not great at all in this game, but they did
all Zach series, Wilson. All series. I mean, just a weird series, uneven everything. No flow, no rhyme or reason why something was a foul one time and not another time. And just everything was weird all series long.
Yeah.
Neither team ever got into a good flow. Both teams' half court offenses were really struggling for long stretches of time. Teams were turning it over. You know, like it was just like it was a series where you had a lot of things to be frustrated about. Regardless of which team, and that's a credit to the Heat and the Celtics, who are really good at making you play left-handed, making you play poorly, taking away your strength, and they did it. And so, I mean, again, this was a rock fight sort of game. It's hard to feel great about it because it's not just this, you know, big high-flying domination. Golden State hitting 83s, and like you just, you know, it's a garden party. This series would be different. I mean, Golden State obviously can play a really good defense. And honestly, they probably had the best defense in basketball before Draymond went down. And they ceded that crown to the Celtics, but it's another team with frigging really, 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 really stifling defense. It's going to make life hard on you here. So, you know, again, we're not going to spill it all in this matchup, but whatever challenges they face here, they're going to have a whole new set of challenges against a team that's going to make life hard for you next round.
Yeah, for sure.
Facts, my dog.
For real.
Facts, my dog.
Doesn't matter. We feel good about it. Go ahead, Josue.
Well, no, the one thing I had to point out is Jason Tatum finally showing up in that fourth quarter. And I say finally because that game six, it just didn't sit well with me. It was the one thing where I'm like, if this carries over to game seven, forget it. You're not going to survive that against the Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat team. The hunger from that team in a game seven opportunity at home, no chance. And Jason Tatum, he didn't disappoint in that fourth quarter. He took those big shots. He made some big shots, but I just wanted to see him continue to take those looks. You know, whether it's the three-pointers, which he was getting some criticism for, or whether it was trying to be aggressive, sure, he did, you know, get some offensive fouls in a couple of drives, but he also started to think about the way that Miami Heat were defending him. He started to find Jaylen Brown down low. He started to find other guys, you know, open. And then picking his spots, when to score, when to attack. Like, that's exactly what he has to be every single game throughout the NBA Finals. He can't be one of those, oh, let me put up this dud so I can make it up for it in the next one. That's not going to work. It's not going to fly against this Golden State Warriors team. And I don't want to get into a preview as well, but my point is that he's got to leave that in the Eastern Conference Finals, because that's the shit that happened from, you know, in the series against the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, something that I thought that he left in that series. And to see it come back against the Miami Heat, I thought was surprising, to be honest. In a game where you could have closed this team out on your floor, and you did that. But look, you bounced back nicely in this one. Obviously, it's the value of it went a long way. But that's something that I hope Tatum keeps in the past.
Hopefully. The bottom line, Tatum led all scores in the fourth quarter. That's all you need to know. He scored more than anyone else on the floor in the most important quarter of the most important game of their season. And that's what top five Tatum has to do. He had a much better, more efficient game six when you look at the numbers, but not nearly as impactful as what he did tonight. When you look at the scoring, you look at the assists, you look at the low turnover numbers. I think he finished with what? I think two, maybe. I know Jaylen had four.
Jaylen ended up with four, but he had zero in the first half and got a little loose in the second. Tatum only had two for the game. Yep.
Right. And one in the first half, one in the second. And that, when a guy is passing the way he was and still able to score, that's what you need from top five Tatum. That's what you need. And that's the only shot they're going to have to compete against a team like Golden State, who's got, I mean, we're not even going to get into all that they got. But the bottom line is this: you need Tatum at his best when the lights are most bright. And that was the fourth quarter of this game. And he showed up.
Yep, facts, dog. We talked about that before you hopped on. Those back-to-back possessions, which actually were not good possessions, where he's forced into a late-in-the-clock kind of pull-up three, which he makes. And then the other one, which the out-of-bounds play is 2.8 seconds left on the shot clock. He gets it, kind of jukes Butler.
That was nice.
Butler thought he's going baseline to his right for sure, and he spun it around to the left. Beautiful shot. Oh, yeah. Those 5 points, those back-to-back buckets, that was everything right there. That's what you needed. And people were crying for it at that point. It's like, oh, my God, Tate, please step, like, take Save over. Right, because the offense was looking just not great. And Tatum stepped up and saved them there. And that was huge. And Jaylen made a nice driving bucket as well. They got the buckets when they needed them to push that lead to a comfortable enough zone where they could basically absolutely melt down like they did over the last 90 seconds and still hold on to win. You know, thanks to those guys, obviously. And yeah, I'm going to keep bringing that up because I don't appreciate that they did it to us. I didn't want to experience that.
Bated breath.
Well, let me ask you guys all minutes. Let me ask you guys.
I didn't want to feel that, Jimmy.
No,
let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah,
and I'm serious here. And I wasn't going to ask it, but it crossed my mind a few times. And towards the end of the game, I was like, man, you know, even though the Celtics did win it, even though, you know, Jason Tatum got the MVP award and his name after Larry Bird and all that, that's what Celtics fans want to see. But did any of you guys, did it cross your mind for a second that they might pull the Jerry West and give it to Jimmy Butler? Because, man, when's the last time you've seen someone with a series like this?
I would have given it to Butler.
Right?
No.
I'm not saying they should have.
He was a level up, but
it's
a strong case.
The three bad
Bird trophy isn't going to Jimmy Butler.
The three bad games cost him. You got
to
look at the whole series. The three bad games cost him. So I take it back. He won two games entirely on his own, and that counts for a lot. But he did disappear for three, and that I think that's probably why. Where Tatum was pretty consistent.
Oh, so now Tatum's been consistent, huh? Two games ago, y'all was
at least he didn't have 6 points.
They won. They won. Right. At the end of the day, the team that wins is going to move on. You're not – Larry Bird isn't going to give his trophy out to a freaking loser, bro. Come on.
Well, Larry Bird's
not Larry Bird.
I'm saying –
Larry Bird, bro.
Larry's not giving that trophy out to anyone.
They ain't going to attach his name to a loser, though. They're not going to attach Larry Bird's name to a loser. Should have won it. Well, he should have won it. Then he should have hit that three-pointer.
It was the Jerry West Award.
If Jimmy Butler hits that three-pointer, he probably gets that award. But guess what?
Yeah, it, so. we're having a much different conversation, I think, if he hits that three-pointer.
Well, yeah, obviously, because that's the L. Celtics ain't surviving that game.
Right. That would have been a meltdown of all meltdowns, and it would in a weird, bizarre way. None of us would have been shocked if that shot went down.
No, I don't think any of us.
Oh, this would have been a different show. I'll be honest, I wouldn't be on the show.
And then I would have said, enjoy the Warriors sweep in the finals. I would have said that.
Yeah, that's real. If the Heat won,
absolutely.
Yeah, I started looking at the
matches of the two different teams against Golden State. I don't know how they win one game unless Golden State got bored. Unless Golden State says, you know what?
Right. They get up 3-0.
Like, hey, Jordan Poole, we need you to take over. Steph, we get the night off. Draymond. Don't you got some TNT stuff to do, Draymond? We're good.
I thought Jalen had a good bounce back night tonight too. He had some really good shots in the lane, some strong drives, some putbacks. He shooting the free throw line. I know he wasn't that great from the three-point line, but I thought Jaylen Brown really had a good night after the situation that was called the situation at the free throw line in game six, where he missed those two. And that kind of snowballed from there. So you got to give Jaylen Brown a little credit. We've talked about Tatum, and Brown deserves his flowers tonight too.
He does. And you know what, Jimmy, if I'm the Celtics, seriously, when the season ends and you're like, you know, you put together the highlight tape or stuff you want guys to study, I want Jalen to look at this game over and over and over again and look at the decision-making that he made when he had multiple options to choose from. Mm-hmm. Do I go deep with the drive or do I pull up for the mid-range? Do I reset and swing at the top of the key to Marcus and just run the offense and reset it that way? Or do I just shoot this damn 16, 70-foot jump shot that I can literally make in my sleep if I really, really wanted to? I thought his decision-making was so accept. This was the best decision-making game I think Jaylen Brown has had as a Celtic.
Yeah.
He had four turnovers, but I really didn't have an issue with his overall thought process in his game. He didn't just take what the defense gave. He recognized what the defense was willing to give, even when they weren't giving it to him. Great ball movement. I mean, he, a lot of hockey assists. This was a great game for Jaylen Brown. And he's had better scoring games. I know that, but his overall flow was really good.
Yeah, I think one of the things about Jalen is just giving the game what it needs. Sometimes he doesn't do that. He tries to force it. Tonight it felt like he did that.
From the book of Paul Pierce, give the game what it needs. I see you, Jimmy. I saw that.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, I will play devil's advocate because obviously, like, you know.
Oh, here we go.
Because that's your thing.
Yeah.
Bring it, John.
He just plays devil.
Yeah, that's my thing. Right.
Well played, Jimmy. Okay.
No, I mean, I'll be the first person to go all in on Tatum and Brown because their expectation level is considerably higher than everybody else's. So there's no reason to judge him and be like, he had 20. Doesn't matter. You're supposed to elevate the team. Right. And so that's that with it. But really, it does come down. The problem with it is there's so much pressure on them to take over. Last game was one of those games where they were both actually playing fairly well and they were playing in control and they weren't forcing the issue, but they got a ton of heat for not taking over late. Jason Tatum was probably the most talked about guy for the last 48 hours. And Sherrod, you went in on him after the game of like, you gotta step up. You gotta take the shots here. It can't be everybody else doing it. So
hell yeah.
The pressure on them is sometimes to force the issue. And the other team knows that's coming. And this is where they run into kind of the worst. This is where they become the worst version of themselves. Is they're trying to stuff it into traffic. They're trying to be it's that fine line between aggressive and forcing, and they haven't figured it out fully, which is why sometimes they get themselves into trouble. And you've had these really high turnover games like they had in the playoffs. That balance, when they strike that balance, it's really friggin' good. You know, when they're playing in control, when they're not turning it over, when they work it, when there's movement, you know, I mean, and again, there weren't a ton of them, but Jason had one, you know, where he did and then moved without the ball, got the ball back under the basket, hit a layup when things weren't going great in the first half during a run there. Just things like that. Just play basketball. Don't just worry. Right. It's not hero ball as much as it is. I don't think it's hero ball, meaning I want the stats. It's I'm a scorer, so I should try to score to help my team win. They feel the pressure to do that, and they get themselves into trouble because teams key on them like crazy. So they have to trust the process of, if I give the ball, kind of move around a little, I'll get it back somewhere else, and I can do some damage here. And they get away from that from time to time, where they do get stationary, standing around, and one guy tries to do everything. And that's where, you know, they ran into problems at times. But also, you know, it sometimes results in what Tatum did tonight, which is just give me the ball and get the F out of my way, which is sometimes what you want your stars to do. So again,
that's what stars do.
They're still figuring that out. And again, Tatum's best games ever are the games where he's like, get out of my way. I'm going to take a series of ridiculous shots. And most of them are going to go in, and some of them are probably ill-advised, but screw it. They're just going. And when they do, obviously he's 46 point Tatum, you know, kind of 50 point Tatum, different level. I still want to see that guy. You know, I want to see you in the, you're going to need one or two of those games in the finals from a Tatum where it's just, yep, get out of my way, clear out, I got this, you know? Mm-hmm. And you do want to see that. And there'll be, there's some, you know, I'm curious how the matchups are going to play out there. But anyway.
Yeah.
I think the star factor of playing against the Warriors is going to jump these guys up a little bit too. I mean, like, greatness brings out greatness sort of thing, you know? So I think all those guys, Tatum, Brown, I think they're going to be ready to go. I'm not making my prediction obviously tonight, but I just think that they're, you know, it's not going to be a one-sided series. You know, I actually do think that offensively it's going to make Tatum and Brown and Smart and all those guys be sharper, you know, iron sharpens iron type of thing. So when you're playing the Heat, it's not that they were not caring about the Heat or didn't look for them, but the star factor wasn't really there. But I think when you talk about the Warriors, you're talking about players, Curry, you know, you're talking about Draymond, you're talking about all these guys that have been there, done that. And I think it's going to make them get out of the series. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm not even close prepared, even though I want to talk about it, I'm not close to prepared to really talk about it or predict it. But I think that they're going
to... Oh, you want to talk about it, Jimmy?
No, I don't. I'm not even close. But I do think that they're going to be ready for the challenge, put it that way.
I would agree. I think they will be up for the challenge. I think that because of who they're playing, there will be a different kind of confidence that they got going into. Not so much that
like they're there.
We're just going to run over these guys. It's like we think we're just as good, if not better, than those guys. Right. And they can base a lot of that on the fact that even when they weren't that great a team, the Celtics, they tend to give the Warriors problems. Obviously, the finals are a different animal altogether. But there's a confidence that they have going into that building that I don't think most teams in the NBA have from the East. Whether that plays out in the finals, who knows? But we know it's there. Jaylen Brown is not going to be intimidated. Tatum is not going to be intimidated about being in the finals at Golden State because, again, there's a comfort level with who they're playing that I think – it's almost like they don't know better, that's the Golden State Warriors. But I think they're more like, okay, it's the Golden State Warriors. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like me. They got a guy that can go out and get 40. Guess what? We got two guys who can go out and get 40. Why? What you want to do? That, I think, is the attitude and approach that they're going to take with this series because they're playing with house money. I mean, if they go out there and get their asses kicked, they got there. And there's 28 other teams that wish they were as fortunate. And they've got some, and obviously, you know, we can talk more about it as we get deeper. But the bottom line is the Celtics are in the freaking NBA finals. Who would have thought that November?
Nobody.
December, no one.
Bobby Manning.
Was the wind going in that direction that day?
No. Yeah, right.
No, Bobby wanted to blow it up, actually.
He's like, was this before or after they?
We can find a clip for whatever take you want for Bobby. We can find it.
He got you covered, man.
Yeah, bro.
I swear.
You know, there's quite a few. Nobody would have thought that. There's a lot of people in the chat. I figured I'd bring this up to address it since we were talking about Golden State. Just asking, like, you know, who have they played? They have not had a super challenging run to the NBA Finals right now. Man. You know.
It's the run, though. The run is the run. Like you put, why isn't it super challenging? They played the Bucks. They played the
Nuggets.
Heat,
I mean, no, not the them. The Warriors. The Warriors.
No, the Warriors.
Oh, the Warriors. Okay. I'm
the
sorry.
The Nuggets. Memphis, you know, whatever, they were fine without Ja. Team not ready for primetime. And Dallas with, you know, out of shape, tired, whiny, you know, Luka and, you know, nobody else. And I love Luka, right. But, man, he was
– Still will get you 30.
It still gets you 30.
Still get you 30.
He was
– Yeah, you can tell Luka was a little fed up by the end there for sure.
Yeah, the turnaround is crazy. And it's a weird year because, like, the parity, you know, like, that's what we were saying earlier. Like, it's as probable they make the NBA finals as they get knocked out in the first round, because there felt like there was at first, even when they're turning it around, they're like, if you end up as a 5 seed or you're playing a 6 seed, you're playing a top team. Then they snuck into the 2-3 and you're like, all right, they're going to get a round out of this, even though the Brooklyn matchup, you know, wasn't our favorite or not everybody's favorite, but you felt good as a 2 or 3 seed. And then you knew next 2 rounds are going to be a freaking bloodbath, no matter who you play against. So getting out of that is really, really hard. And if they didn't, again, I don't know that it would have necessarily been a failing, but it was a pretty even 1 through 4. If you remove injuries with Embiid and Middleton and whatever everyone went through, and that includes Boston too, that would have been, you know, a lot of coin flips in those series there. I still would have taken fully healthy Celtics over anybody. But it is interesting because it is like kind of like anyone would have prevailed and nobody would have been stunned, right? Coming out of the East.
I agree. I mean, but that's the beautiful thing about this time of year. I mean, you can't just be talented. You got to have a certain amount of toughness with you, and you got to have some luck. You got to have guys healthy and get breaks that you have no control over. The Celtics had nothing to do with Chris Middleton not being available. But you better be damn sure they benefited from not having to deal with him. And, you know, Brooklyn and Brooklyn and all just the chaos they have, they had nothing to do with Ben Simmons, you know, not feeling ready to play or any of that stuff. Yeah. But they damn sure benefited from that. And the list goes on and on. And when you look at every team that makes it to the next round, there was something about that opponent that they benefited from that they had nothing to do with. And to me, the champions are the ones who – take advantage of that, not the ones who benefit, who actually see and recognize and build off of the shortcomings of their opponent to get the hell into the next round. You better believe there's going to be a lot of talk about if only Tyler Hero was able to play more than just a nanosecond in this series, could have been very different. And they're right. But flip side to that, if Marcus Smart would have been healthy throughout the course of the series, it might have been over in 5.
Or Rob.
Yeah. It might have been over in 4. So you can go back and forth with that whole if only if. Bottom line is you play who you got, the problem they may, and if you win, good for you. If you get your ass kicked. That's how it works.
I think it's the
chess match of the NBA playoffs, right, Gerard? I mean, that's exactly what we saw between Spoelstra and Ime Udoka. Look, they both had guys that were banged up, key players, featured players, and they had to deal with it. And they did their part in terms of whether resting guys or deciding to, you know, go with other guys and having, you know, someone like Jimmy Butler just pretty much play the entire game in Game 6 and come over and give you this type of performance. Like, look, Tyler Hero, in my opinion, I was thinking at best he would keep the ball moving offensively. You knew he was going to be limited on defense. You knew he wasn't going to have one of those games where he scored 16, 17 points. I mean, I just almost looked at him as like a decoy, and I feel like the Celtics capitalized on something like that, you know? Unlike what we saw in Game 6, they were unable to capitalize on, or not even Game 6, what am I talking about? No, the game when Jimmy Butler was out in the second half, was that Game 3? You know, there were times there was times throughout this series where they just didn't capitalize on the Miami Heat's shortcomings. And when it was time for when the pendulum swung the other way, Miami took full advantage. So the Celtics did a good job of refocusing on what needed to be done in Game 7, but also taking advantage of those opportunities that Miami Heat were giving them. Look, Ime Udoka had done a good job of just keeping these guys motivated on one end, but also they believe in what he's preaching because of the example that he's already set forth throughout that second half of the regular season. You know, they believe in this guy. And I thought that was a huge part of the series as well. He never lost his team's focus, that locker room. And I thought that went a long way against this Miami Heat team, especially against one of the best coaches in the NBA in Eric Spoelstra.
So Udoka, we do credit a lot of us. Go ahead, Jimmy. I'll ask the question after.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say I co-signed Sherrod and Josue, and I think I've said it pretty much the whole playoff series. Like, when you get a gift in the terms of an opponent you know, missing a player or being in turmoil, or if you will, about the Nets, you got to take advantage of it. You know, you don't look the gift horse in the mouth. And I know I've butchered that line a couple of times, John, but I nailed it right now. And I don't know if you're paying attention, but I did nail
it. It's a walk-off. Yep.
Yeah. And credit to the Celtics. They did that. And every team gets breaks. Only the good ones take advantage of them and get to the position that they're in right now. And that's the Celtics. So they deserve to be in this position. Nobody's going to say that they don't. I think anybody who's watched the NBA over the last 3-4 months would say that the Celtics were either the best team or, you know, a top 2-3 team in the NBA. And here they are. And the hot teams, as long as they can stay healthy, and they've had their ups and downs, whether it's Rob, whether it's Marcus, they've had their ups and downs, but they are in this position because of the way that they turned it around right around December. You know, whether you want to credit Ime, maturity, you know, just finally being sick and tired of being losers, which is what exactly they were all last season and going into this season, they've completely changed the narrative on themselves. And that's credit to themselves. So I give them all the credit in the world for doing that. We're going to be talking about it. I'm going to bounce. I'm going to let you guys finish off the show. I know Bobby's on his way. He just texted us. And I just want to say I'm excited for the NBA Finals. We're going to be covering it like crazy, and I will be a part of it, and I'll see you guys then.
Jimmy!
Sounds good, fellas.
Hard hats the rest of the way.
Hard hats. Everybody, you got a few days to buy your hard hats if they're there.
Enjoy your day off, Jimmy. Tell the whole union, I said, you know, enjoy your day off.
We worked overtime tonight, folks.
Let me ask you guys this question. Thanks, Jimmy. We talked about the turnaround in Udoka. Obviously, is a huge part of it where they finally had the buy-in. Then we've seen multiple times during both the Bucks and the Heat series kind of old habits creep in. And again, part of that is it's hard. It's injuries. It's rougher sailing. It's the stakes are higher. It's hard to play perfect, clean games like you were playing during, you know, the last 35 games of the regular season where you were, you know, destroying everyone. That being said, can the Celtics get away with one or two games or stretches of games like they had against Miami, against Golden State?
No, I don't think. I listen.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%.
Frankly, things that they are, but they have to figure out how to minimize the impact of their shortcomings. If you have a high turnover game, you've got to get your ass back in transition so that they don't get easy baskets. If you're not rebounding the ball well, you got to knock down shots. Because if you don't, and you're giving them second and third shot opportunities, eventually you're gonna get your ass kicked.
What's going on over there?
there's some stuff that's moving around here. Yeah, I'm good.
What up, Bobby?
Let's bring in Miami Bob.
What's up, Bobby?
I think I got good connection.
What you got for us?
Yeah, Bobby, you can go.
I think you got bad connection.
All right, Bobby can go, like the other go. Leave. He'll come back. We'll try Bobby again. His connection's a little bit wonky right now.
I thought you meant.
Yeah. I did. First I meant talk, and then totally when I saw him freeze, I tossed him. Then it became a different go.
Like Webster Dictionary number two, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, you know, it's hard to pinpoint what is kind of just the playoff pressure, not pressure meaning like this game is important, pressure meaning the teams put pressure on you because it's the playoffs and you're playing good teams with good coaches and the teams that play good defenses and they're going to do whatever they can to make life hard on you and that forces you back into bad habits. And that's perfectly fine and acceptable and we get it. But it's, again, is, you know, these the self-inflicted stuff with the turnovers and the fouls and X, Y, and Z. Like, you know, that's the thing is like, Miami just, and Bobby said it the whole time, and when he comes back in, I know he's going to double down on it. One of the main reasons Bobby never sweat against Miami is they just can't put up enough points. You know, they're never going to be able, even when you puke on yourself, they can't go on enough runs, you know, and tonight, all they had was Jimmy Butler bully ball and whatever Bam was doing through the first couple, you know, 2.5 quarters until he kind of disappeared a little bit. That's it. They had nothing else they could do, especially when Hero came in and was obviously ineffective. But holy crap, you let your guard down and you start throwing away possessions, shooting early in the clock, Hero ball, you know, threes, and you start to get comfortable with a 12, 13, 14 point lead. And all of a sudden, bap, 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 and it's a tie game before you blink here. So you can't, the letdowns, you can't have them against Golden State.
But see, that's the thing, yeah. Like the way that the Miami Heat were able to put up points in like under 2 minutes, those 7-8-0 drives, you know, I mean, 7-8-0 runs, like that's not going to fly against the Miami, I mean, against the Golden State Warriors. And the same thing about Tatum in the fourth quarter. Like what we saw in game seven, that's got to be Tatum throughout the entire NBA finals, because they're not going to be opportunities for him to go, you know, 2-for-4 in the fourth quarter or 1-for-2 like he did in game six, a closeout game, mind you. You know, 1-for-2 in that fourth quarter, that Tatum cannot show up at all in the NBA Finals. Because if that happens, Golden State is going to crush the Celtics. Like, they're not going to give you that leeway the way the Miami Heat did.
Yeah. Bobby, what's your view of courtside there when you were at the game? Just observations for tonight's game before you dip into Golden State sort of stuff.
The defense, I was saying midway through the game, when it started getting tight, Heat are within 5-6 points after the Celtics had that 17-point lead. Can you go all in, pack it in defensively, and just grind this game out? I didn't think so. I didn't think Grant played enough early. I felt like Rob was playing too much, trying to go double big and really just go all in on defense and keeping Bam out of there and protecting the rim. So they do adjust a little bit, get Rob out of there, play Grant some more in that second half. But I thought you could have seen some Pritchard earlier. You didn't see it. They leaned on the defense, the double defensive guards there with White and Smart, and they just completely gutted this game out on that end of the floor down the stretch. Some big buckets from Tatum, but mostly that stretch of stopping the Heat 11 times on 14 shots midway through the fourth. It's the story of this team this year, and it's, again, what we saw them do in early February. Al Horford talked about it after the game. It was right off of that shaky January where they're blowing games, the schedule softens up, they get a few wins against the Nets. And I remember late February in Brooklyn, I said, this defense, I don't know about the offense, but this defense, it's a championship defense. I mean, you start a game 28-2. I don't care who was on the Nets out there that night. It was just stop, 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 stop. And they've done that against every team they've played this year. They've done it against great teams. They've done it against great offenses. They beat up on the bad teams. And they've blown out teams left and right. And you didn't blow out the Heat in this series, but you were able to go minutes and minutes and minutes where the Heat weren't able to get off a good shot, weren't able to do anything offensively.
And that's why they stay in every game. That's what whether it gets them to the, whether it's good enough to get you over the hump. The reason the Celtics are never out of any game is because their defense is going to keep it close no matter what, you know. And we had a bunch of those games where the offense looked like absolute crap. And then you, in Milwaukee series especially, where you're like, I don't know if they could have played any worse, and they're down 6, you know. And it's like, because you just kept them there. And you're right, when you have these teams that are, you know, and in Milwaukee was outside of Giannis was a little offensively limited. And obviously Miami, you know, didn't really have enough weapons there to compete. Golden State does, though. That's kind of the difference.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not looking too far ahead to that yet. You know, I got to look into the Warriors and all the matchups and everything else there. I do like Boston's size against them. There's injuries.
If Rob is right, I totally agree. That's going to be a problem. That's going to be a big problem.
Yeah.
For Golden State, if Rob is, they're going to have the Celtics could really eat them up there if Rob is right.
Yeah, tough physical size on the perimeter.
And that's a big if.
It's a big if.
Yeah,
but it's not just about that. I mean,
this was depressing tonight with Rob.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah, but you see how well they defend with the Grant Horford duo, too. I mean, they can defend well in almost any lineup.
Sure, but those paint touches, the Butler's just not going to go off in a game where Rob sit, we're patrolling. It's just not going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
What's funny is Golden State's numbers, if you look, you want to dig into numbers, Golden State scored a ton of points in the paint because I think people are so freaking out over defending the three and overextending on them. But again, Rob is just a game changer in that regard. So I'm hoping here you're looking at a few days off. Please, you know, we'll see what that does for you. But I think he's vital here.
Yeah, and yet this is the killer of not winning this series in 6. You lost 2 days, and you had to have him play another game here. But you may give Rob a lot of credit for getting out those, what was it, 15-ish minutes in the end. And as you've talked about, Johnny, Ime didn't say this, but you can think of it this way, that those aren't the Theis minutes.
They were not Theis minutes. That's all they were tonight. They weren't Rob minutes. They were not Theis minutes. And that's why he did it. And he did it 4 and 5 minutes at a time. And that's it. He started in both halves and he tried him one other stint. And that was it. It was about 4 minutes, one other stint in the fourth quarter. And I texted you guys, I don't like this lineup. This could get away quick. And it did. Timeout, boom, rock. That was a 2 minute stretch, and Al was back in. That was like at the, he started him in the fourth, and Al came in at like the 10:30 mark and played the rest of the way because it wasn't working. They couldn't pull it off.
I gotta say too, I missed that final sequence. I saw the Butler shot, but it's what, 6-ish game at the end there. I gotta get in position to shoot that trophy ceremony. I'm getting downstairs. I'm figuring out where I'm gonna go. I popped into the press room, and it's a 2-point game. And Butler is darting up the floor. The Celtics had just squandered a possession, and he fires a three. That was shocking.
Yeah.
Had some room to get downhill. He's been so good in that spot all series. Even Jaylen Brown said after the game, what the hell? No one could believe he did that. Horford couldn't believe it. Like, man, that one's going to stick with him for a while because they had a chance there to force overtime or get a 3-point play or at least just put some pressure on the rim there. And he fired a long three with, what, 11 seconds left? So you did dodge a dangerous situation there down the stretch. Struce got a few good looks, but you just hold on. And that's this team. They led wire to wire tonight. They've won every game after losses on this run. This team just feels like a champion. It really does. Like, they just have all the different intangibles you think about when you've seen champions in Boston over the years, NBA champions and things they've had to overcome. I think of the Bucks overcoming a few deficits in series last year, Giannis injury. These are the kind of things that this Celtics team is doing, just beyond the numbers, beyond what we're watching. Like, the resilience of this group is unbelievable, not to mention the turnaround since January. They were thrilled for Al. You could just see it in everybody's face. Al, you know, falling on the floor, so he didn't know what to do. Man, they needed this as a group, didn't they? They got over the hump. I compared this matchup to, like, the Patriots and the Ravens, John. That hump that Brady just couldn't get over in the early 2010s. He finally did in 14. He won that first title in 10 years. It's not the same exact situation, but it kind of reminds me of that. This Heat team had just given them fits. It was just in their head. Butler doing what he did in these last two games and them not able to hold on to any lead against them, but they did it here. This group finally broke through. You probably go back 10 years to the start of this run, them drafting Smart and forming this core loosely. Ime said it well after the game. The Celtics aren't playing for East titles. They're going to flip the script pretty quick here, and there's a huge challenge ahead, but you really do just have to savor what they accomplished here against Miami. And again, I came into it saying, what's the big deal? This team's not that great. And they took you right down to the final shot in game 7. So, man, huge challenge here, bigger than expected. Again, you were banged up, and Marcus Smart, Sherrod, your guy.
I'm trying to tell y'all, man.
I didn't think he had this in him, man. But he just gave them everything they needed tonight. All the passes, all the key slips in the buckets, layups around the rim, things to pace their lead when the Heat were going on runs, and of course the defense. This guy is just incredible. His season's the story of this year. Like, you know, I know Tatum was all NBA. I know Horford had his comeback, but Smart and Horford
are the absolute stories of this season, because
I would agree.
Tatum and Brown are Tatum and Brown. And whether you think they made vast improvements, small improvements, stayed flat this year, I think they're pretty close to the same version of the players they've been, with some tweaks. I think Tatum does things better this year than last year, but those two guys, without what they got, you know, contribution wise out of, I'm now a point guard and I'm taking it seriously and that's all I want to be, Marcus Smart, and Al Horford's career revival, without that, it does not turn around. And then obviously the ascension of Rob, all of these things happen, but we saw a Tatum and Brown led team with the wrong pieces around them last year, and it was a freaking disaster. So yes, Smart and Horford, not only doing it, but doing it consistently, you know, game in, game out, being available for most of the year, constantly bringing effort, almost having. And again, you've got the bad Smart games, but we're talking about from the week or two before the trade deadline, when he really kind of turned his game around, and all the way through the end of the year and into the playoffs. Different dude, completely changed the narrative on who he was in Boston. I mean, our chat was filled with, he's got to go, he's got to go. I mean, even Bobby Manning was like, I'm afraid they might have to trade Marcus, you know, and that was hard to get. It's hard for Bobby to get there. Right.
Because guys don't change this deep into their career. Like, at some point you say, this guy is who he is. He's a huge asset, but can he be the third option on your team offensively? Your point guard, making plays game in and game out. That was the thing for me, the consistency. He had moments, and I said it going into the season, like, give him the chance because he's that good of a passer. His passing skill is just his, you know, he's obviously known as a defender, but man, his passing's right up there with his defense. But it wasn't consistent. And you'd have the 1-for-9 game like we saw in game 6, and just these games where he'd try to shoot the Celtics out of it. He just, I still don't know what happened. Maybe Sherrod, you have more insight into it. But right around January, he just went all in on setting guys up, you know, putting the, you know, the food on the table, whatever you want to call it. Like, he was just the initiator for this group. And he made all the right decisions, didn't turn the ball over, was a calming force when they needed to stop runs. And of course, the defense speaks for itself. But offensively, his transformation this year, Sherrod, you just don't see it this deep in the guys' careers.
No, it's unusual, absolutely, to see it at this point. But remember, Marcus put the two pillars of this franchise on blast. And when he did that, he also put a bullseye on himself. He had to step his game up because Marcus, you know, he wasn't exactly locking kids up at that point in the season. And he wanted to become more of a playmaker, and the EMA said, okay, just kind of toss him the keys. What you going to do? The pressure was finally on him to be that guy. Because remember, he's been around guys like Kyrie. He's had Isaiah Thomas. He's always had another point guard slash playmaker who was established, who had been there, done that before. And he just kind of had to get in where he fits in. That was not the case now. He wanted to be more in control. They gave him that opportunity, and he showed his growth throughout the season of being that point guard, of being that playmaker that they needed.
Yeah, and again, I want to point out, because a lot of people in the chat are saying it here, we get it. Like, Smart took those threes late, and everyone's mad about it. He did have –
those are bad shots.
They're not great shots. We get it. And Sherrod talked about it earlier, the Marcus Smart experience. Yeah, he's still going to do things where you're like, I don't know if we needed that right now. And he's not he's not perfect. The point being was he did that a lot less, you know? And he committed to being Marcus Smart, the point guard, a lot more. And he had a lot of single-digit field goal attempt games, and the three-point attempts came down, and he worked more on distributing. You know, I do think, Bobby, I don't think anyone ever questioned whether Marcus Smart can pass the basketball, but playmaking is more than just passing. Playmaking is Marcus Smart
taking the right shots,
organizing the offense.
But it's also having the gravity as a potential scoring threat as well to be able to draw defensive attention to you so you can attack and distribute and do other things. So when people wanted a different playmaker, they wanted a guy who was a more dynamic offensive player. But he playing within himself was the best that they were going to, was the best that this team was going to get. And it's what they needed because he gives you so much more on the court with the defensive stuff and all of that. And there was no one else on the roster that was going to be able to step up and do it. There's no one that were going to get in a trade deadline to do it. So it had to be Marcus. And he kind of took the reins and rolled with it. If he does, the turnaround coincides entirely with him kind of flipping that switch into the type of player they needed him to be. And then Al,
right?
Holy crap. We talked about this. We were joking. You want to talk about a big L I'm going to take here. When we traded for Al, Bobby was bullish on, you know, the type of contributions. And I'm thinking, this guy's going to play like 15, 18 minutes a game. He's kind of older. It's going to be good bench minutes. Nope. Out of the gate, starting
out. The jersey never came down, John.
I hear you.
Stayed up there all 2021.
Wire to wire, start to finish, he very much looked like the guy who was here a few years back, you know? I think he doesn't get the accolades because he doesn't get the blocks and all of the stats that Rob gets. You could argue that he was a more important overall defensive presence on this team than Rob was and might have been deserving of I thought he was a second team all defensive player also, whether it was alongside Rob or in place of him.
Are we going to give that one to me? Because that was one of my preseason predictions. I
think he deserved it. He just didn't have the sexy stats, but his defense all over the place, all over the court, the consistency of it. He was a friggin' rock. His defense was huge again tonight, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We talked about that scheme all year. Horford guards the pick and roll. Rob plays off a guy and guards the back line. It was unstoppable. Even with Rob at 50% or whatever you want to call it in the series, the Heat couldn't solve that scheme. And it was borderline revolutionary to me. Like, other teams started copying it as the year went on. I know other teams have done similar things. But to have these two guys who weren't necessarily complimentary. I know you had issues with it early on, John, that lineup with the two bigs in there. But those guys found a way to just mesh perfectly and completely keep teams out of the paint. Those two were the most important factors in this defense, just shutting teams down for long stretches.
It was an easy scapegoat because we saw double big fail so spectacularly the year prior. And offensively, they just couldn't generate enough because there wasn't enough shooting out there. So it just felt Al was ice cold, shooting sub 30% from three to start the season. Rob doesn't even look at the basket when he catches the ball. And Marcus started off shooting really poorly. When you threw in Tatum and Brown's really icy start from behind the arc and from the field, that lineup could not score baskets in the half court. They could not knock down any shots. And so you're like, you got to get shooting in there. That's when we started entertaining Grant as a starter, which at the time seemed insane, considering months earlier, half of us, myself included, wanted him off the team and shot into space. So that's how bad it was early. We have to look back on it. But then, as you said, he turns Rob into a free safety. It's another thing Udoka does. And it completely changes everything, the complexion of that defense. All of a sudden, he's just lurking in the shadows, you know? It was just an amazing turnaround. I mean, all of it is.
Yeah, it's unreal. Yeah. I don't think there's ever been anything like it in this sport. You've been around the game of how, Sherrod. Have you ever seen a season like this? 18-21 to where they are now?
Not one that has them where they are, which is the one of the last two teams standing. You've seen teams turn their seasons around and then make a little noise in the playoffs, but not like this. And not the way the Celtics have done it. I mean, they've literally been playing with fire this entire playoff run. You know, that game went against Brooklyn where they won. That could have easily lost that game if it wasn't for just a miracle play from Tatum. You look at the Milwaukee series where they go down 3-2. Could have easily mailed it in game six, but they didn't. And then in the Heat series, they come here, they steal one early on, then give it right back when they get home, then go down 3-2. And have a chance to close it out with a 3-2 lead, blow that at home, and then they finish this thing off on the road against one of the better home teams in the playoffs. You can't write the maniacal way this team has played. You can't – it's real. You can't come up with this kind of fiction.
Yeah, it is. It is real.
One more thing on tonight, John, just the way they came out of the gate, protecting the ball – after they've just thrown the ball everywhere all series was pretty impressive too. Jalen especially. Jalen deserves a lot of credit tonight. I think everybody deserves a little bit of credit here, but the guy we don't usually mention until the 80-minute mark, got to give him his due. He really protected the ball, stayed aggressive, and was still a big-time contributor even without just siphoning off the turnovers there. One turnover from the starters in the first half. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. We gave Jalen his flowers early on, though. We didn't forget about him this time. It's hard to ignore the turnovers, as you pointed out, Bobby. That, to me, that was if there's the single most important stat at the first half was the number of turnovers that him and Tatum had combined. And I think it was like two. So big part of the win.
Yeah, I mean, the number one key to the series here, and again, you talk about self-inflicted sort of stuff, that's kind of really what it all comes down to is, you know, and Bobby, I posed this question earlier, can the Celtics get away with the same stuff that plagued them during the worst stretches of basketball versus the Bucks and the Heat? Because seeing those old habits, and I know you wrote about this for CLNS Media the other day, is like you start to wonder whether some of it is baked in, you know, whether some of it is just stuff that's never going to go away. Like I said, the worst things that we're seeing from the stars of the team. I just don't know that flies, and you want to see it gone for good. And that's why you had that sample size of 35, 36, 37 games, you know, to close the season where you're like, we don't see this kind of stuff at all anymore. And then it pops up like a lot. And so you just don't know if it was, you don't know if it's gone. You don't know if it's going to be, you know, I don't know what team shows up in Golden State. That's the thing. I don't know. I don't know what, you know, Can you get 48 minutes?
They're good at suppressing it, though, right? Like, not only bouncing back from losses.
Really good all game long. Yeah. Minus but, you know, this, yeah.
Playing good defense, overcomes it a little bit. Shooting great. We talk about early in the year stuff we didn't expect. This team's shooting. They just nail shots all the time now. It's like every team they've gone up against, you're like, oh, that group has a lot of shooting. And the Celtics have outshot them, save for the Nets in that first round. Bucks couldn't hit a shot. He couldn't hit a shot here. And all of a sudden, Derek White's raining down threes. And Tatum's finding his late. And Grant at certain spots this postseason. I know they cooled off a little bit at the end of this series. But they can get shots off with the best of them. It was smart tonight. So these little things all overcome the turnovers and just the stretches where they get stagnant offensively. The defense is the rock that they lean on there. But they're exceptional adjusting game to game. That's for certain here. 7-0 now after losses is just a ridiculous number. I think that to some degree, the stuff I wrote about John is going to be baked in. Brown dribbling, Tatum playing in a crowd, attacking one-on-one, taking too much time to get into the half court.
Well, here's what I don't understand about it is.
But every team has flaws.
It's not flaws. It's things you can and can't do. And that's what I don't get. If you keep getting the same result, like if you can't shoot threes, stop shooting threes, you know? And I know Sherrod's going to get booted soon, so we're going to wrap up the show in a minute. But if you often experience failure doing something, why bother? It's like, you know, just trying to shoot from half court. Like, it's just not a thing that's going to have success. So if dribbling in traffic is always bad, literally never consider doing it. Just wipe it from your, you know, just remove it from your repertoire. It's silly. It's silly, right? So that's what I don't get is why repeat the same mistakes over and over again? Just
talked about it, John. It's what they've done their whole lives. So it's always going to be there.
And
like, that's what they're best at. And when things get tough, they're going to try to lean on that. And sometimes it works. Like Tatum late in the game, hitting all those shots. Sometimes it works. You don't like it, but when it works, you're like, wow, that's awesome.
But that we talked about it, and it was it's almost unfair, the criticism we give Tatum and Brown of being more aggressive and being more assertive and then getting mad at them when they are aggressive, assertive, and make mistakes. It's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, and it's not fair. But we are going to wrap us, and Sherrod's going to get booted, and we don't want to see that happen on live on a live stream. The party's over in Miami, but the party is just beginning, obviously, with the Celtics, who are headed to the finals. Guys, final thoughts here as we kind of head into a Thursday matchup. And this is really exciting. Like, I'm still like,
oh, man, we've been waiting years for this.
But you can't believe what happened in that game where I spent the first, like, 30, 40 minutes of the show in shock. But, like, tomorrow you're going to get up and be like, freaking finals, man. I mean, this is amazing. It's amazing. You know, oh, gravy, if they lose, it's all great. It's an amazing experience. You know, we've gotten to go through it a couple of times. It's been a while, though. And professionally, I've gotten to do it a couple of times in 2010.
Done it, you guys are
experiencing for the first time. It's freaking cool as hell. It's the freaking NBA Finals, you know. And it's been a long time. And you do appreciate how freaking hard it is to get in there, you know.
We've covered every game, John. We've been there possession for possession since New York. Josue, you guys in the studio. Like, we've mapped out every step it took to get here. And I think people nationally are going to look in and be like, how the hell did this happen? 11 seed to 1 seed? But it was just the little things Udoka implemented early. The defensive scheme, the five starters there, the ball movement that started to flow around February into March. The little things Horford and Rob did, the changes Tatum. I mean, we were the first ones talking about Brown and Tatum passing each other. And that was one of the first things Udoka really accomplished early in the season, was just getting them to play off each other a little bit more. I think it's cool that we've kind of been mapping out each little step of this. You know, we've been on top of it. Like, we haven't missed a game. We've done shows night in and night out, really going back to day one of the bubble. You know, like, this, you can go back years on what set this up and the changes that have happened.
We have spent a lot of time with this team and talking about this team. So there is a sense of ownership here. And I know this is what you do and this is your profession and you cover the team, but you're right. We've spent a lot of time, a lot of energy dissecting every single thing that they do and being there every step of the way and being in on all of the stuff. And obviously with you guys out there on the road traveling with the team this playoff run, it's going to be a great way to cap it off with an NBA final. So congrats to you guys who get to cover the finals. We'll have a big crew going out. Certainly the home games in Boston here, but on the road in Golden State as well. It's going to be fun. We are going to We're going to do at least one preview show, if not two, leading up to the finals. And then, as I said, as soon as the finals start, we're going to be doing daily garden reports. It's not necessarily going to be a set time every single day because we have to battle around West Coast times and West Coast availabilities. But look to us for notifications on Celtics CLNS Media. We'll keep you guys updated. Celtics CLNS Twitter. You can follow any of our Twitter handles here on the screen if you can see them. And we promise we'll let you guys know when the stuff is coming. I'm psyched, man. The best thing I said about this, guys, is this series made my head explode. It was so freaking frustrating in a million different ways, but they made it. Now it's a clean slate, right? It doesn't matter. Literally nothing matters.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But different also, matchups. You're just like we've been talking about the last 25 to 30 minutes. What's going to carry over, right? What version of the Celtics is going to carry over into the finals? And if you're a Celtics fan, or if you're guys like us who've been watching this team so closely throughout the postseason, you're thinking about those quarters that separated themselves from the Heat, right? The ones that were like, oh, well, this team is, you know, three games into the series. Oh, this team has won every single quarter minus a couple. Like, and the ones that made the biggest difference was the ones where they defended at a very high level, right? Limited the Heat to 16 points in a quarter. And, you know, you saw someone like Tatum score 7-8 points in one quarter, but did it in like 6-7 minutes. Like, how the defense can get the offense to getting these open looks for teams. And that's exactly what you want to see the Celtics going into the finals. You want to see the best version of themselves, that line that we've been using all season long. You know, it's like the kid who's been prepping for all these big tests, and that this is the big final. And what are you going to do? Are you going to revert to those bad habits? Are you a changed product at this point? You know, like, I can't wait to see it all unfold, because like some of these people have already been saying throughout these comments, you know, I'm not quite sure that the Golden State Warriors have faced a defense that good in this postseason. So here we are, right, you know, top offense going up against the top defense of the year. Like, this is going to be one heck of a series. You know, you can go with that storyline, or you can go with, you know, the OGs of the league, the dynasties going out to grab one more, going up against the youngins who've never been there before. So there's a lot of things we're going to break down the week leading into it. And I say that as if this game is in, you know, 3-4 days away. So I cannot wait, guys. It's going to be exciting.
What I will say is, as well, is that it not only exciting stuff, everyone's asking predictions. We're not going to give predictions this early. Come on,
no,
guys. But
not yet. I mean, come on.
I haven't even thought about it. You're going to have to work for mine.
You're going to have to work for mine. What I will say is this. You know, I know there's
match up so well.
They match up well, and I know there's a Warriors mystique. It's not the Warriors you think they are. They're a good team. This is not the Invincible Warriors. This is a good Warriors team. The Celtics have some serious advantages in this series. It's a challenging team, but it's not like, oh, geez, well, you know, getting to the finals was the best you could do. This is absolutely a winnable series. Not just winnable. It might be one that the Celtics should win, but we got to dig into the matchups a little bit more, and we are going to spend a lot of time talking about it. So again, stick with us for all of this stuff throughout the rest of the postseason, the NBA Finals, which start on Thursday at 9 p.m. Sorry, we had it up as Tuesday earlier. Thursday, 9 p.m. out in San Francisco, games 1 and 2. Is it Thursday, Sunday, or Thursday?
Thursday, Sunday, yep.
Thursday, Sunday. Yep. And then we're back here for 2, which is going to be a ton of fun. So, like I said, stay with CLNS Media, guys. Thank you so much for watching. We will check in with you guys. You want to check out our YouTube channel. Bobby's going to have post-game reports. If you haven't already, subscribe.
Got videos from the trophy ceremony, too. They'll be going up, so check those out as well.
Tell your friends, guys, it's the finals. We want as many of you as possible, okay? We want to really blow this thing up, and we'd love to have more of you out coming out for the shows. And again, we'll be doing them nightly, as we said. Look for notifications on when we start, but obviously post-game is a lock, and you know you can find us here after every single game starting on Thursday. Have a good night, guys.